They tell me that these men who are called acrobats, who walk the high wire, the secret of them doing that, and I can assure you I'll not be trying it, I find it difficult to walk along the footpath, but the secret is for those men, as they're about to set off, is to get their eye on a target. They must keep their eye on a spot on the other side. And if they get distracted, if they get their eyes moving, they're going to fall. Now, in the spiritual sense, if we can call it the secret, but at least it will maybe be a help to you. If you want to be saved, you get your eye on salvation and do not allow yourself to be distracted. Don't allow yourself to be involved with something else. As we pray for meetings and as we pray for individuals, we tremble when we realize the difficulties that you're going to face. Maybe you didn't know there are difficulties. Well, there are big difficulties. There is an enemy, the devil himself, who wants to see you lost in hell. And the world is so organized to attract your attention, to keep you involved, to keep you from thinking. But if you want salvation, but we don't want to paint a very dark picture, but at the same time we have to warn you of the dangers. If you want salvation, now if you really want it, you could get it tonight. There is absolutely no doubt about that. You know, there's a principle taught to us way back in Exodus chapter 3. As Moses passed by, he saw a burning bush. A spectacular thing, no doubt. But Moses stopped and then he noticed that the bush is not consumed. And then we read that he drew nigh to get a closer look. And then God spoke to him. If you're interested in salvation, we can tell you there's a God interested in you. And waiting to save you, heard the other night. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son, and I think all who preach that chapter in the gospel will have noticed and at least will be thinking. Because, you know, we do put a wee bit of thought into some of those lovely chapters. I believe the father was looking, waiting for the distant figure, waiting for just a person to appear. And as soon as the younger son appeared and he was in his rags, you know, we're not going to preach that sermon, it was well preached, but I'm sure when he left the father's house he was upright and erect, and the world lay before him. He was his own man, he was his own boss. He came back with his head low. He came back without a penny in his pocket. But the father recognized him. Doesn't matter how far down the road you've gone. For you know, the devil's cruel. The devil whispered into the ear of a young woman in Brazil. God saved her. We thank God for her. But the devil told her, you're too vile to even go to the gospel hall. She said, I wanted to go, but I felt I was so vile that nobody would want me. But she was invited and she came, and the devil even then told her, but there's no salvation for you. But God saved her. You know why God saved her? Well, God loved her. But she set her heart on it. And she said, if there is salvation, mind you, she was wondering, if there is salvation, I'm going to seek it. And as we come to the closing week of the meetings, you are still not saved. Don't lie back. Don't let the devil whisper that you've missed it again. You set your heart on it this Tuesday night, and you could get it before you go out through the opening of the tent. God can save you. In this these verses we have read, Solomon is telling us about the things that attract us. The first verse is, verily true, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. What he's telling us in is that the world is a beautiful place, and so it is. It was the poet who said, poems are made by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. And it's lovely to admire the nature. Lovely to look at the sights that are in the world. But Solomon is telling us here now, while that is good, and while you can appreciate what God has created, he said, don't forget this, the days of darkness. What he's telling us is that soon the eyes will close to those things. He's speaking, no doubt, of death. But mind you, it's a terrible thing when a young person goes blind and they no longer can see. I have a cousin and, well, she had a little health problem, all right, but sitting at the table with her parents one day, she was just 32 years of age. And she said, Mommy, I can't see. Her vision had gone. She could see nothing more. She's in the dark, but she's saved. Thank God for that. And the day is coming when she'll get her sight and she'll see the Saviour. But Solomon is saying here, don't you forget. Don't be so involved with the beauty of nature that you overlook the days of darkness. For they shall be many. The Bible speaks about your lifetime as 70 years and 10. I've said over in our country, when you reach 70, you're into the waiting room. Well, you could live to 80, you could live to 100. But mind you, the days of darkness are many. Solomon is speaking about the eternity that is stretching out, that is stretching out, and no matter how far you might look or how far you might think upon it, it's a darkness that's never going to end. Eternity is lasting and it's forever. And if you miss salvation, well, Revelation tells us that there's no rest day nor night. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. You dear souls that are not saved, because we do like to try, without naming names, I would never do that, but maybe if you die in your sins, you'll be saying, I wish the preacher had called my name out, but we're not going to do that. But we'd like to get to you as an individual, and we would like him to use the term to just shake you a bit. And to get you to stop and consider it. And to apply your mind to it. You love the things of nature. I have no doubt about that. And you can amuse yourself with tiny things. But mind you, listen. The days of darkness. There are many. Isn't it an amazing thing that Solomon can see that the things that God has created, that you could get so occupied with them that you're forgetting the Creator. That's the problem. Admiring what God has made without thinking about God. Solomon says, remember the days of darkness. Have you thought about the days of darkness today? Have you allowed your mind to dwell upon eternal things? Mind you, it'll take lightness from you. It will bring reality into your sight. It will make you be serious about getting salvation, not seeking for it in a half-hearted way, If God says me, it'll be good. If he doesn't save me, well, what can I do? That's foolish talking. The death of Christ proves that God will have all men to be saved. God wants you to be saved, and Christ died that you might be saved, and it's proof that God loves you with an everlasting love, and you could be saved tonight by trusting Christ. Solomon says, remember. You know, it's tremendous that we have the capacity to remember. Mind you, you're going to take that with you into the days of darkness. And many a time we shudder to think of people in the depths of hell, and they're remembering. And they're remembering the texts of Scripture that were placed around the sides of the tent. They will remember the verses that they committed to memory. They will remember the preaching of the gospel. They will remember that the Son of God gave himself a ransom for all. But they refuse to take it. Remember the days of darkness. Then Solomon comes to verse number 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. What he's stating in this verse is what the general feeling is in the world, to rejoice. The whole emphasis on our day is for people to have a good time, to enjoy themselves. Well, Solomon is taking up those very thoughts in his day. He said, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. That's what the world is doing. No restrictions. Solomon says, you just do that. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. He's just stating here that the world can attract you, but there's a price to pay. Thank you, it's a big price. It's a very high price. It's a price that you'll never pay. You'll never exhaust it, because you're going out into the judgment of God. Solomon says, but know thou, let it into your heart. Let it be written in your very conscience. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. The most solemn day that this world has ever faced is yet to come. And every soul will be called to stand before God. Revelation 20 tells us that the books will be open. Mind you, the records being kept. The books of God will be opened. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So Solomon is saying to the young man, well, you just do what others are doing. Don't be too concerned about the days of darkness. You just do it. That's the natural way, you know. That's the way of the majority. And you could follow that path. But know thou, let it into your heart. Know thou that the price is high. That for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Verse 10 is a strange verse. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth is vanity. What Solomon is stating here is to get rid of those things that are going to bring sorrow. You see, in these verses, Solomon is laying before us that you have a responsibility. There's an attitude needed. that if you don't take an interest in these matters and let the truths of this enter into your very heart, you're never going to be saved. Now that's what the Bible teaches. You're never going to obtain salvation. Sit back and say, well, if I'm to be saved, I'll be saved. Well, I can tell you now what will be the outcome. You'll be lost. Solomon is not mentioning anything like that. He's telling them, look, you deal with this subject. You're in control. You have the authority in your life. And you can decide what you're going to do. People would like to blame God. Or maybe put the blame onto some other person. But it's your soul. And it's your destiny. It's your eternity. So he says, you deal with the subject. And what he's telling us here is, don't allow anything. Now it's for you to examine your heart. He's saying, don't allow anything to keep you back from salvation. In these verses, he has spoken about the days of darkness. He has spoken about judgment. And the world doesn't like to think about that. They don't want to even consider it. But I hope that you're not tainted with that kind of thinking. For the Bible tells us that you have an eternity which must be faced. You know, it is a serious matter when we think of, just consider today, this day, this Tuesday, the many hundreds of people who have gone into eternity, and the many who have gone into eternity without salvation. Now, you try to get a hold of it. Every person who has crossed the boundary line without Christ, according to what the Word of God tells us, and we have no problem in accepting it, they have already reached the place that the Lord Jesus Christ described as the place of torment. Serious thing to die in your sins. And there's that tremendous possibility that you'll miss salvation. But Solomon says, now you get your eye off the things around about and remember the days of darkness. In other words, he's saying, is it worthwhile to choose the world? You know, in the Old Testament scriptures, Genesis chapter 48, read about a man called Jacob. He's on his deathbed. His life is almost gone. Jacob is a man that had quite a life. He could have written books about his experiences. When he's lying on his deathbed, there's only one thing occupying his attention. And he says to his son, the Almighty God, God Almighty, appeared unto me in Bethel and blessed me. He's going back over the years to when he was a young man in Genesis chapter 28, when he received salvation. That was the only comfort he had. Mind you, if you were facing the last enemy, the fact that you were a millionaire will not help you. The fact that you were successful in your career won't help you. The only anchor to the soul will be, I have Christ. What want I more? Now Solomon says, remember now thy Creator. Chapter 12. He says, don't allow yourself to drift into old age. That's what the world would tell you. Oh, live your life. Enjoy yourself. And when you're no longer able to go to the football and no longer able to go to the disco and you'd be frowned upon by the young people. Listen, Solomon says, remember now. That means now. It means tonight in this tent, remember now thy Creator before the evil days come. And the verses succeeding here describes old age. No longer able to endure heights. Losing your vision. Just becoming a burden to yourself. He says, don't you wait until those days. Because you're going to your long home. And the mourners go about the state. The world won't stop to exist when you die, you know. It just keeps going. The business world will just continue. You maybe not even be noticed. But mind you, when death comes, you have gone to your long home. And it would be a terrible thing if you miss salvation. What is Solomon telling us here? He's telling us, and telling you in the meeting, do you set your affections on things above? You get your sight set on salvation, and let me, before I close, let me just emphasize it again. There is salvation, and God is offering it to you tonight. Not because of tears you shed. Men have shed tears and they've never got saved. Salvation is offered because the Lord Jesus died on Calvary. He gave himself a ransom for our sins.
Book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Just one verse, number 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I'm going to read it again. The words have been on my mind throughout the day. This chapter is a song, likely the final song of Moses. And here in the middle of the song we have a prayer. I believe it's the prayer of many in the tent tonight as they think of loved ones and friends not seeing. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Now over a few pages, please, to the book of the Proverbs and chapter 6, and verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. And finally, in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verse number 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast heard them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's all that we shall read, and I trust it will be with the blessing of God on every heart this evening. In the opening moments of the meeting this evening, we have been receiving what I would call wise counsel from an experienced man. And I trust that as we have sat in the tent this evening, from the youngest to the oldest, that you have been listening very carefully to the words of counsel that have been applied to your soul from the Holy Scriptures this evening, counseling you to get your eye upon the objective of God's salvation and to make it priority number one. To make sure that every possible distraction is removed, and to make sure that in all you're getting, you get God's salvation. Well, just what has been upon my mind for the close of the meeting this evening has been the thought of wisdom. You know, wisdom is a very valuable thing, but oftentimes when it comes to spiritual matters, it is a very rare commodity. And so I want to think about it just for these moments that are at my disposal this evening. As I have intimated already, the verse that has been burdening my mind as we come to the close almost of a series of gospel meetings is this one that we find right in the middle of this wonderful song of Moses. And he makes a prayer for wisdom. And he says about these people, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I want to think then, just for a minute or two, about the vision of wisdom. Our brother has been speaking about being single-minded and upon getting our mind upon the goal. Well, I would like that our vision would be enhanced this evening, and that spiritually every one of us would just get a little look as Moses prays at the latter end. You know, it will adjust our thinking. It would adjust our plans for the remainder of the evening. It would adjust your plans and your values if you and I would all just be able to get a little look at the end of the journey of life, the vision of wisdom. I want us to just notice, and we'll only do it very briefly, in Proverbs chapter 6, the wise man says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And then he describes what the little ant does and her preparation in the time of summer and the time of harvest. I want just to notice the vigilance of wisdom. She knows this, there is a time coming that there is going to be a great need and a great scarcity, and when there will be no longer be provision. And when the time is right, she makes a preparation for the dark day that's to come. You know, I wish that people in this little tent and that have been in nights that are past would just have vigilance for their own soul. Another verse that we could have read a little later in the book of Proverbs, and it says this, if thou shalt be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. And I would to God there was a boy or girl or a man or a woman would just give consideration to the passing of the opportunity and just be vigilant, because the big possibility is this, that you're going to lose your soul after all. You'll be lost for a long eternity. The vision of wisdom, consider their latter end. The vigilance of wisdom, preparation in the time of harvest. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 15, I want you to think about the value of wisdom. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The epitome of wisdom is a soul getting saved. There is no more wisdom to be found on earth than for a man or a woman, boy or girl, to make up their mind, I'm going to have God's salvation and I'm going to have it tonight. And the objective of all preaching, the objective of every gospel series here in Bicester, is that men and women and boys and girls would be saved. I wonder, as heaven looks down tonight in this gospel meeting, are you amongst those that are wise? Are you amongst those that have been wise unto salvation? You know, when people would look at us going into the tent in the glory farm, they would say, what a bunch of fools. But when heaven looks down at sinners saved by grace, heaven said, there are the wise of the earth. People who have taken God at his word and have put their trust in Christ, and they're ready for the world to come. The vision of wisdom. You know, a big problem that some of us have in the meeting tonight, I can speak for myself in particular, is that I have a problem with my eyesight. You take away these glasses and I won't go very far. I am, and have been since I was a boy, short-sighted. But you know, it's not physical short-sightedness that is the problem with many in the tent this evening. It's spiritual short-sightedness. That's why in Bicester, many souls have no interest in the gospel. That's why in Bicester, people are living their lives happily, only a heartbeat from eternity. Because they have never had their vision adjusted to take in the long view. And that's what Moses would love that these people would be able to do. Oh, that they were wise. Are you wise tonight? You know, your school teacher will say if you'll be wise, you'll work hard during the summer months in relation to your schoolwork. If you're wise, you'll do your homework every night. And in your work, they'll say, if you're wise, you'll seek means to climb the ladder. They'll say, if you're wise, you will accumulate some wealth. If you're wise, you'll have health insurance. If you're wise, you'll have life assurance. If you're wise, you'll have a pension plan. My friend, all of those things are only for transient reasons and for time alone. But if you're wise tonight, you'll not think just about a few days hence. You'll not think just about a few months hence. You'll not think just about a few years hence. But you will think about the end of life and you'll think about eternity. And would to God I could get one boy or one girl or one man or woman in this meeting just for a few moments to consider their latter end. What I mean just now by the latter end is just here at the end of life. I want you to consider it with me for a moment or two tonight. I want you just to consider and ask yourself this question. When will the end be? That's a big question. You say, sure, we don't know when the end will be. That's just the very point. The truth is this, and I say this with all due consideration tonight. There are one or two elderly people in this tent. But they could still be knocking around Bicester when you're in eternity. You know what knocking around means? It's an Irish word for going about. The youngest in this tent could be the first to go. I have sufficient experience working with young people in years gone by to know that sometimes they go to eternity very unexpectedly. When I think this way, I often think about a young boy called Colin Kitchener. He came to a little children's meeting we had in a place called Ballykeel in Ballymena. There was a big family of them. They seemed to move frequently from town to town, and for a little while they lived in that great big estate. And all the Kitcheners came, from the oldest to the little baby with the bottle. Their mum liked to get rid of them for an hour on a Thursday night. And Colin was a bit of a tearaway, but a likeable young fellow. Little while after that, they moved right up to Coleraine. And there they got in contact with the gospel again and went to Sunday school. My cousin called to pick them up one afternoon. Colin's 14. The mother said, no, they're not coming today. They've gone up the River Ban for a picnic. But next week they'll be back. But you know, next week Colin wasn't back. They were having a little fun on the jetty. And somehow he slipped just into the River Ban. A fast-moving river with many currents. And down he went. 29-year-old uncle jumped in to rescue him. And in a couple of hours, the frogman brought up two bodies. And they've been in eternity. That sobered me to understand that you don't have to be old when you die. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. that they would consider their latter end. Consider when you might go, when the end might be. Another thing we could consider, it would be wise in this gospel tent to consider it. Consider how the end might be. I don't mean by what means you are taken from time to eternity, but I mean this, whether you die in Christ or die in your sins. You see, there only are two ways to die. And here's the wisdom. I'm asking you the question, if you die tonight. I pray to God that none in this tent dies tonight. But we must face realities as we come to the end of this series of meetings. If you die tonight, how will you die? From the front to the back, look me in the eye in the presence of God and tell me this silently in your own soul. Be honest. You die tonight, will it be heaven or will it be hell? Are you saved? Are you ready to go tonight? What about these men and women down here? Some of you, I don't even know your name. Might never meet you again. God has given us the opportunity to meet on the journey of life. You consider the latter end. How it will be. Tell me, man and woman and boy and girl, is that soul of yours saved? Nothing else matters when it comes to the end. Remember the night my mother died. Suddenly it was. In the hospital, they attempted resuscitation for a while. Major coronary. Finally, they had to admit defeat. The little junior doctor that was there, only a young chap, he brought us in. And he looked at us and he said, I did the very best I could. I said, Doctor, I know you did. But I want you not to worry. For my mother was saved. And right now she's in heaven. Tell me, if that was you, where would your soul be? We miss her to this day, but thank God she was saved. Amen. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. They would consider their latter end. How will you die? Not only consider when the end will be. Not only consider how the end will be. Consider where the end will be. You see, it gets more solemn. I preached one other night in Job chapter 14, verse 10. Man dieth, wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? You know, the silence in this tent is remarkable just now. I trust it's the silence of the movement of the Holy Spirit. Only two places. Every single soul in this tent will be in some one of the two. We can't be in neither. We can't be in both. Men and women, boys and girls, it's heaven or hell. Oh, you say, that's a dreadful message to preach. It's not politically correct in 2009 to preach like that. I trust I'm doing it tenderly. I'm telling you the honest truth from the Word of God. I believe we are situated just now in a country enshrouded in spiritual darkness. Come to tell you the truth. There is life after death. Death is not the end. Death is but the gateway to eternity. It's heaven if you're saved by the precious blood of Christ. It's hell if you die in your sin. The vision of wisdom. The vigilance of wisdom, I'm only going to mention it. Solomon says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. The delight of observation. Just a little object lesson. Not now the prayer for wisdom. But we have the picture of wisdom. A little creature so insignificant that we tramp upon them as we walk across the grass. And yet, without an overseer, without a guide, without anyone to give them counsel, they have got more wisdom than many souls in this tent tonight. Because we have the duty of preparation. Somehow, within their little mind of mind they have, they perceive this, that it won't always be summer. They perceive this, that the harvest won't last forever. And they say, now is the time to make the preparation. You know what I fear? I fear that there are those who have been coming to these tent meetings and some here tonight, and the devil has been saying to you, just get it some other time. Just wait until another series. How do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. It could be now or never. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You say, I didn't come to this gospel tent tonight to get saved. Well, we came to see you saved. And God desires your salvation. Tommy has emphasized that from the very beginning. And it would be understandable if there was no salvation for you. But let me tell you, Christ has died upon the cross. He has finished the work. He has satisfied the claims of heaven. And the door is open wide. I often say when I'm preaching about that prodigal that I preached upon the other night, heaven's red carpet is out. And you are welcome tonight to come and take the water of life freely. The duty of the preparation. She provideth her meat in the summer. But the wise man, he looks at the danger of procrastination. He says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou awake out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and I want as an armed man. You know what's going to happen? You're going to sleep until it's too late. Mm-hmm. Oh, you say, I plan to be saved and I want to be saved and I'm waiting to be saved and all of that. Listen, my friend, many's a one has been like that. And tonight, they're under the wrath of God. God won't wait forever. The harvest won't last forever. The day of grace is just about to end. I wouldn't be surprised that Tommy Wright and Wesley Martin and many others are amongst the last heralds of the cross on the day of grace. The door's about to close. And listen, if you won't step in, you'll be out forever. From a child, I know there are some maybe in the tent and you haven't known the Holy Scriptures from you're a child, but there are some in this tent tonight. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You're able to make thee wise unto salvation. What a privilege. From a child. Just to hear the message. Just to know what thousands in Oxfordshire don't know tonight. You're a lost sinner. You're a sinner that is loved. You're a sinner that God longs to save. The Holy Scriptures, what a possession. There is no grander possession that has ever been between human fingers than the Word of God. You read it today. Have you looked at it today? Have you opened its pages and asked God to speak to you through his living word? Able to make thee wise on the salvation. Are you wise tonight? How do you get it, says you? Through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It's not your faith that saves, it's a person in whom the faith is placed. The blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven tonight because I believed. I'm going to heaven tonight because Jesus died for me. Amen. And rose again. You put your trust in him, you'll be amongst the wise unto salvation. And you'll never perish. Time's up. I delay no longer. I leave you with these words of Moses. This prayer of Moses, it's my prayer tonight for everyone in the meeting. Oh, that they were wise. That they understood this. That they would consider their latter end. Turn and believe this very hour. Trust in the Savior's grace and power. Then will your joyous answer be saved through a long eternity, shall we pray.